Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is Tyson David. Hope you guys are doing good. Hope you guys listened to the last episode on the political compass. It was pretty interesting, I suppose, if you're into that stuff. But today, we're going to be doing a little bit of a different episode. For that, though, a new episode of Political Dysfunction is out from... Actually, it's supposed to be the same day that we recorded the last episode of Utah Liberty Talk. It got published a little bit later, but that one's published now. It's super good. We started the war on drugs, our first episode of that. Got sidetracked a lot. And then today we recorded with Mike Offey, who is the coordinator for North American Students for Liberty. And so that'll be published here soon. And then next episode, we will be doing our finishing up of the war on drugs. Go ahead and, you know, check out the website. There's a new article on there, working on some other stuff to put up on there. The store, shirts, stuff like that, Patreon, discounts, all that good stuff. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Utah Liberty Talk. Okay. Today, having just talked about the major difference between left and right last week of being, collective and private wealth and property, today, I decided that I was going to do an episode in support of the free markets, because this is important. This is super important. Free markets are, this is it. Before I really get going into that, I just got to say, leftists will drive me crazy. And it's, I'm not hyper, like, I know when people talk about libertarians, they'll say, libertarians are fiscally conservative, social elite liberal. And I say that a lot, but I'm not socially liberal because I'm going to sit here and scream about the government giving healthcare to people. And even when you talk about getting the government involved in forcing healthcare providers to give it to transgender people, and the justification against that would be that if the government is forcing a healthcare provider to give healthcare to someone who's transgender, and the people who are providing healthcare to that person, well, first of all, it could cost them more, and it's unfair for a person to force that burden onto a company that doesn't want to take it on. Second of all, they might not have the appropriate doctors or physicians to get it done properly. And with that comes a whole slew of problems with the possibilities of them screwing up and then having to redo it. So therefore, missing out on profits, or them, just screwing it up in general so bad that it can ruin someone's life, and they're open to be sued. They don't want to do that anyways. There's many reasons why the government should not force healthcare providers to give equal access healthcare to people who decided to change their bodies from their natural biology. And I'm not to say that they don't have the right to do that. Absolutely. If that's what you feel you need to do, that's what you feel you need to do. You know, you have the right to do that. But this talks about positive and negative rights a little bit. And a positive right is when you have entitlement to someone else's labor, which is something that free market capitalists such as myself do not believe in, because that's bull crap. But I'll talk about that a little bit. But there's also other things that I'm just not leftist on, like the super woke stuff when they're talking, like they're canceling people for all sorts of different stuff. Because I think cancel culture is absolutely ridiculous. And I think the left is so intolerant and it's so hypocritical. But there are other aspects of leftism that I just frankly can't cope with. And it's not even really like necessarily leftism. It's just like the social pushes that they do. Like they're sitting here talking about the gender wage gap, which I don't, it's been debunked. It does not exist anymore. What other things are they talking about? They're the intolerance towards religion, quite particularly Christianity, I find appalling. what other things are they doing? The fact that they like the Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter said that like anyone flying the flag is no ally to black people, and they're ignorant. And I personally try not to use that flag a ton, just because I think it represents a government that oppresses our people and so on. But I think that's just such an ignorant thing to say. The social Marxism of everything, critical race theory. I don't participate in that. To talk about race, it's a tricky topic, of course. But I'm sorry, you're not going to convince me that I should feel ashamed for something that I never did. Anyways, there's just certain aspects of leftists that I can't get behind. And this is something that like I really needed to clarify for those people who may not be super seasoned in libertarianism. And then they hear fiscally conservative, socially liberal. That does not mean that libertarians like believe in critical race theory. That does not mean libertarians like believe in an abundance of things. And this is why like libertarianism, if you really get into it and start down that rabbit hole, it is such a broad spectrum of so many different schools and theories of thoughts, because you have people who like Mises, you have people who like Rothbard, you have people that like Ayn Rand, you have people that love Ron Paul, you have people that are Hoppian, you have your socialist libertarians. There are people who are more pragmatic. There are people who are more radical. There are people who think agorism is a great thing. There are people who don't think agorism is a great thing. There are people that think that we can politically undermine the power of the state by electing people. There are people that think that's a total waste of time. There are people that think that it's not okay to overthrow the government. There's just so many different avenues of liberty. And granted, I try and like understand all of them. Definitely not like a Hoppian, but it's really like there's so many different places and there's so much infighting. It is just crazy. But I find myself wearing the shirt and tie until it's time to throw on the Hawaiian. And basically what that means is to be principled yet pragmatic. And what I mean by that is, like, the ultimate goal for society is to have a way that we behave to where we don't need a government. That would be ultimate, because a government is basically an entity that has permission to use force. And if we could get to a point to where we don't need that, I think that'd be the ideal condition for you. However, we're not there. And there's many reasons for that. No one is willing to be tolerant enough of each other. No one's willing to respect each other. No one is willing to do stuff that won't affect other people. There's no ability to handle disputes in a good way in so many scenarios. There's just so many examples of this. But, where am I getting at here? So I find myself wearing the suit and tie and being pragmatic. So it's a Jenga tower that we're trying to deconstruct to get rid of the government once and for all at some point in time. And a lot of people will be like, oh, just push the button, get rid of Social Security, get rid of welfare, all this kind of stuff. And like, to me, I think that I can find myself voting for anyone who is principled in showing like, we don't have to just like take away driver's licenses right now. But, you know, how about we, for anyone who's 18, how about we, in the state of Utah, lessen the expand the amount of points that they're allowed to have without getting their license taken away. That is a pro-liberty thing to do. And that's something that, like, even though it's not exactly what I'm looking for, I'm in favor of it. So Utah recently passed a constitutional carry law, HB 60, and that applies to anyone who's 21 in the state of Utah can now concealed carry without needing a permit. And the Utah state legislator would have passed it multiple times before, but Herbert the pervert decided to veto it. And the reason why I say that is because of the speculations of the human trafficking that has happened between the Fed and state governments and the involvement Herbert has had in it. It's some deep stuff, maybe conspiratorial, but anyways, it's a joke. Don't try and get me on defamation. Anyways, so Herbert vetoed it twice because he's a loser. And they finally passed it because Cox is like, no, I won't veto it if that's what the legislator wants, which is probably the good thing for Cox to do because, man, he's in trouble. And honestly, like Cox has no business being governor, to be honest with you. For those of you that don't know what happened with that situation, it was originally really supposed to be John Huntsman. And it was somewhat close between him and Spencer Cox for the Republican nominee. But what happened is a crap ton of people flipped from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party to vote in the primary, because that would pretty much determine who the governor is. And Cox is just a spineless, pragmatic, to the middle Republican in name only. Mitt Romney, and he's done some stuff that I agree with. He's done some stuff that I don't have a problem with, but he's just so median, just like Herbert. They're just so like barely Republican. Kind of like how like the Mormon churches in some ways. But yeah, it's just so anyways, so they won Cox in because all the Democrats are like, oh, Cox is so much better than Huntsman. Huntsman is, you know, gonna, oh my gosh, Huntsman's gonna make it so that Utahns can own whatever firearms they want and you know, he's gonna be a real Republican in there. I didn't vote for Cox for governor. I didn't vote for the Democratic candidate. I voted for Dr. Doc Daniel Cottom, who I had on the show in season one, Dr. Daniel Cottom, great guy, super smart. Yeah, he's phenomenal. I love Dr. Cottom. Okay, so, but the biggest, one of the biggest issues that we see talked about, and I'll wrap this into it. One of the things I said drives me crazy about leftists is the government healthcare, the free healthcare. And that's going to take me into this talk about economics because you cannot have positive rights. And that's one of the things that the government just does horrible at regulating and making sure it gets done properly. Not to mention that taxation is theft and extortion because you're taking the wage and the labor of a person who's worked hard for it. And, you know, you're saying that simply by them being alive, they're consenting to give their money to this entity that doesn't even do anything in their favor. First of all, taxes should be voluntary. And if you're going to pay taxes, you should at least, like, so this is an example, right? I say taxation is theft. Does that mean that we should just stop all taxes right now? Well, if someone says, okay, we're going to start cutting taxes here, and then we're going to put out this idea where people get to choose where their taxes go to, then, oh, you know what, that seems like you're giving more power to the people, you're giving them more individual freedom and agency. Even though I think taxation in general is theft, that is a step towards liberty, gets a thumbs up for me, that kind of deal. So with the economics of free healthcare, I mean, if you guys look at like places like Canada, I'm like, oh, what, like there'll be tweets that go viral like, I can't believe Americans have to pay for an ambulance to take him to the hospital. That's so crazy. And then in Canada, if you want healthcare, you're on a wait list for 6 months. And there are people that die on these wait lists because they cannot possibly serve all these people. Now, granted, there is a huge healthcare problem here in America. But to me, I think the number one reason for that probably is the pharmaceutical industry. And in order to solve that, what we need to do is less government intervention in the market. So the pharmacies are being greedy. They're ripping everyone off. Alexander Flemington, the one that invented insulin or came up with it, sold the, or maybe it was, I want to say it was insulin. Yeah, it was insulin. Sold the patent for $1. And that was basically supposed to set the precedent that it was supposed to be easily accessible for everyone. And now I know people that are paying $1,500 a month. That's rent. I mean, that is ridiculous. So these guys are greedy bastards. And the way that we combat that is by abolishing pharmaceutical intellectual property. We need to abolish pharmaceutical intellectual property. People say, oh, that'll stifle the need to continue forward and the want to get new medicines. First of all these pharmaceuticals are just chemicals that are put together. And all these chemicals are derived from the earth anyways. I'm a fan of healing methods that are traditional and of the earth, that sort of thing. I had strep throat, didn't go to the doctor, drink tea and honey, some garlic and honey and cayenne mixture, a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and you know, it helped it in the same amount of time, if not quicker, than any sort of the prescriptions they would have given me for it would have helped me. Body armors too, those are good. But anyways, so we need to abolish intellectual property for pharmaceuticals, because they are being that government protection is being taken advantage of in order to exploit people. And that is a huge problem. And that's one of the huge problems we're seeing in our medical industry. And yes, you can go to the emergency room and it's going to cost a ton of money. But one of the things that's wrong with the healthcare industry is first of all, get a itemized bill, because they're going to charge you for things you shouldn't necessarily be charged for. Second of all, when you have insurance, they will change the prices. None of the prices are ever set in stone. And so they'll do things with the insurance to where, if the insurance is paying 90-10 instead of the standard 80-20, then we are going to actually, up these prices a little bit. They have the ability, and they do those things where they work around with each other. And it's like basically this game of like they're playing politics behind everyone's back, kind of like the elites. Like, they tell us what they tell us, but in the back, they're playing their own game, and we're the ones that are getting ripped off for it. So anyways, I think that a big thing that would help with that, that would really help turn the medical industry in the right direction, would be the abolition of intellectual property for pharmaceuticals. And then people will say that will like stifle the ability to, or the need to innovate as well. I have another counter argument to that statement as well. I don't think that the people that we want to innovate the life-saving drugs are the kind of people that are going to want to make sure they're the only one that can make money off of it, because if they have the right intentions, they're doing it for the better good of humanity. And those are the kind of people, as have shown, that as soon as they get a patent on one of their drugs, they're going to go ahead and exploit it and milk it for as much money as they can. So along with capitalism in general, and Hunter and I, on our episode of Political Dysfunction, where we were talking about the war on drugs, we actually had a pretty good, we had a little conversation about what's going on with the housing market. And Hunter was telling me about BlackRock and how BlackRock is offering 20% to 30% overselling value, and then they're closing in 10 days and all this sort of stuff that seems really favorable to the buyers. And Hunter goes, I don't like how people are having to compete with these, corporations for property. And like a normal capitalist would say, and Hunter made the statement. He was like, and I get it, they're voluntary transactions, and that's what capitalism is. It's all about voluntary transactions and freedom of association. But he says he still doesn't feel like it's fair that people are having to compete with them. And I said, yes, it's true. But this is the major defense for capitalism and free markets. And free markets is not, and American capitalism is not the same as capitalism, as it's supposed to be. But the problem is we're not capitalist. And we really never have been capitalist. Government bailouts. I mean, every major corporation is getting government bailouts. You look at the COVID relief stimulus, and then you see the people got this much. These foreign countries got this much. How you know, where's all the rest of this money going? There's so much missing money. 75% of this money is missing. Where is it going? Well, you want to know where it's going. It's going to crony corporations. It's going to these major conglomerates. It's going to Boeing. It's going to Amazon. It's going to Walmart. It's going to SC Johnson, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer. I mean, these guys are all getting just huge amounts. And of course, they're military industrial complex people as well. The part of why I mentioned Boeing. But these corporations are just getting major, major, major bailouts. And it is just, I mean, that's where the money's going. And that's not capitalism. Capitalism and free markets are about letting businesses fail where they need to. If you have the government pretty much propping up businesses that aren't supposed to be that according to the market, right? Because the market shows, the market is made up of so many different factors, but the market's basically saying, what's the supply of this item or service? Who needs this item or service? How much are you willing to pay for this item or service? And where is the best quality for this item of service? Where's the best price for this item of service? And it's a balance of majorly those things. So when a company is failing and they are not providing the market with either the adequate pricing or the availability or the quality, and they're failing, then clearly the people are not choosing to have that be one of their major or one of the successful in the industry. It's a democratic decision in a way. And when the government bails them out, they're overturning that. They're overturning what the market has done and what the market has shown that it needs, and they're reversing that. And that is wrong. And that is where the majority of our problems as a capitalist nation have come from. Greed is a big part of it too. American greed, I mean, like if you're a person like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, like I'm not gonna lie, I mean, you have more money than you want to spend. Like, I genuinely feel like you should be giving away a large portion of it. And I know that their net worth has to do with liquidation of assets as well. But I think that we don't see enough generosity between people like this. And, I mean, America's, you know, the most generous country in the world. That doesn't come from, you know, the 1%. That comes from regular people who, you know, who are sending food and clothes and, you know, shoes to people in Africa. Giving aid to people who get hit by hurricanes in the Bahamas or whatever, people who are sending aid to Thailand or Philippines or, I mean, whatever it is. That's what makes America so generous, though. And I think that if these people that are ultra rich had the same attitude as most Americans of, you know, being willing to give, then I think that, you know, it would be a lot better for this country. So first of all, capitalism for our species is inherently correct. It has to be. And the reasoning behind that is because that is our version of natural selection. And so for humans, okay, because we're such a sophisticated species, we are clearly set apart from any other species on Earth. Dolphins are the next closest in terms of mental capabilities, and unless they're living in houses at the bottom of the seas. I mean, we just really don't know. But humans by far are the most advanced species in the planet. And what sets us apart is our mental capabilities and our ability to think and our ability to create, our ability to innovate and our ability to adapt. And we aren't necessarily adapting our physical characteristics as much. We do, which explains like different races that have evolved from the beginnings of humanity. I mean, we do, but that's not where our major changes are coming from in terms of what advances us as a society. And so ultimately, capitalism is the only way for competition to be bred, and that's what natural selection is competition. So in free market capitalism, you have the ability to find out what you're good at, to figure out what you can provide, to figure out what people want, And then you figure out how to make yourself useful. That analyzing yourself and those around you, and then putting yourself in a position that makes you useful, is our natural selection. That is how you work that brain. That is how you grow that brain. That is how you contribute to the human race. That is how you advance our species. And socialism is just a halfway form of communism, or, you know, socialism. And some communists will call communism socialism. Some people will think that it's interchangeable. It's communism light. And it, the welfare state, welfare stifles drive. When you have a parrot or a net that you can always fall back on, your drive goes down. Your drive is limited. And then you don't contribute as much. And I'm not saying that these people are lazy. I'm not making fun of poor people. But what I'm saying is you have people that are competing for a limited resource, which is welfare. It's a limited resource that not everyone can have. And when the government is offering everyone availability to this limited resource, I mean, go ahead and search up how much you can get in government benefits from the federal government for your criteria. Someone that I knew that was very wealthy, doing quite fine for themselves, making plenty of money, was able to get an extra $50,000 a year from the federal government. And almost everyone applies for this kind of stuff. They apply this kind of stuff to everyone. So my point is you, everyone that is on welfare is competing for a limited resource. And it is, first of all, stealing the fruits of other people's labor to provide for it. And those fruits could be investments. Those fruits could be, you know, contributing much greater to the economy than just going to Walmart. And so, you know, it is, first of all, that's a problem with welfare. There's a problem with socialism. And it's in principle wrong, because people are entitled to the fruit, to what they've agreed to for their labor. I'm not going to say to the fruit of their labor, because that kind of sounds like workers using the means of production, which is a aspect of communism. But what I'm saying is, when you go to work, you're voluntarily exchanging your services, your skills, in exchange for an amount of money. And instead of people saying, well, what happens after that is theft, it's what you get taken from you. The stuff that, I mean, when you're working for $14 an hour, and then after tax, you're really working for like $12.50 an hour, that is theft. I mean, you are not consenting. I mean, and you know, your employer is paying, you know, your employer is paying you, you know, you $14 an hour, but the government is taking it. So inherently lowering your value. In terms of workers seizing the means of production, the other thing about capitalism, which is incredibly important, is that it does support innovation. Unlike communism. Capitalism supports innovation because capitalism allows people to innovate, take new risks. So people think, okay, I have an idea for something that can benefit the human race, something that will make life easier, some product that is going to be more enjoyable for people, something that's going to be easy for people to do, whatever it is. And so they have the ability to take a financial risk and to make an investment. And this is what it's like being an American. And this is how you got to risk it for the biscuit. And this is what it's about. I have something I can provide. I'm willing to take the financial risk in order to see if this will work out. And you go big or you go bust. That's how it works a lot of times. And that is the thrill of America. That is why I call America the land of the opportunity, because you have the ability to create something and absolutely just capitalize on it. And you could be absolutely amazing with it. You could provide something that people love so much that it makes you wealthy. But the biggest part is that the consumers are finding this worth it, whether it's inexpensive, whether it's easily accessible, whether it incredibly, I mean, it is making the human race better. And it is giving us more ideas for, okay, well, we can model it off of this now. We can model off of McDonald's for more fast food restaurants, because McDonald's is fast and it's convenient. We can model off of Tesla for having electrical cars because they're better for the environment. And, you know, I did that in air quotes. I know you guys can't see because, you know, it's debatable with the carbon footprint of the battery. And I mean, there's tons of other factors, and I'm not going to pretend to be an environmental expert. One thing that I do know, though, is that the government forcing farmers to only plant one crop, that's a problem, because that is not diversified our soil, and it's affecting the way that our atmosphere is able to recycle the natural airs that these plants put out. Anyways, there is no way that innovation would happen at the same level if workers owned the means of production, because no one would be willing to take a financial risk in order to, because there's no financial, in order to make society better. When the workers own the means of production, there's no financial risk to be taken. There is, you know, okay, so what? You have a company, the work, okay, so you have people that invest into buying machinery in order to make cars. And then you have people that are willing to invest in order to make these conveyor belts that the parts go across that people put together. And now they're doing them with machines or whatever, but I'm just putting it in perspective for something a little more appropriate to what communism was built around. So the factory's already there, the machines are already there, the parts are already there, you're already hired, and then workers seize the means of production. Okay, well then what happens? How are you gonna make a new car? Say that the market changes and all of a sudden there's not a need for this anymore. And if you can't even take a financial risk to innovate something new, like, you would have never have gotten to planes per se, or fast cars. I mean, there's trucks that have the ability to haul massive amounts of weight and move absolutely massive amounts of weight. I mean, we have the ability to drive down the road and move things that we were never even really able to move before. So, you know, there are, I mean, there's no invitation for advancement or excellence when you have already, I mean, you've already made it and then the worker sees it. How are the workers supposed to, like, do they invent a new idea for a new car? Well, what about the person that invented the first car? Do they even know what sort of performance things they need to enhance? Do they know what parts they need to change? I mean, there are so many factors that play into it. And then what happens? And then you need someone to take a financial risk. You need someone to put their neck on the line to see if it's willing to work. And that's what capitalism is about. It is about individuals. And that's what's important, is that, and as much as, you know, no matter what we were told in elementary school, we should all be treated equal under government, but there are simply people that are better than other people. There are people that are smarter than other people. There are people that are more athletic than other people. There are people that are more capable than other people. Some people are just not capable of things. And that just happens. That's just what happens. And, you know, I'm not saying that we need to make people feel bad for anything. I'm not saying that, all I'm saying is that in order to advance the human race, it is foolish to act like everyone is the exact same. No one can own their own things. Everyone has to be getting paid the exact same. There's no realistic basis behind it. It's a fantasy that people who are degenerate communists that are on that scale to where they aren't the more capable people, is something that they push for. And then they try and make it sound humanitarian, but it's not humanitarian, because in the long run, it's not good for the human race. That's like a movement between, bears with shorter claws and shorter teeth that don't have the ability to fight. That's the campaign for them to be able to reproduce to the females. That's not how nature works. It's not how it works. Don't give me these campaigns for reproduction that are just, I mean, it's not called for. It's not nature. That's not how it works. And that's the justification for capitalism. Capitalism, all in itself, A, it provides competition in the market. And this is huge, because when you have competition in the market, you have the ability to make things more efficient. You have the ability to make things less expensive. You have the ability to make things more widely accessible. And with those criteria, you know, being put together, as I talked about it before, you get to get the best outcome from the companies and you get choices. And, you know, it's like politics, chocolate or vanilla. Okay. 51% chose vanilla, or everyone's having vanilla. Well, what if I want pistachio ice cream? Well, the market gives me pistachio ice cream. Politics doesn't, but the market does. And the best part is you don't have to eat pistachio ice cream. You can go eat your cherry chocolate chip ice cream. I mean, whatever. But the point is that you have a whole new spectrum of products and availabilities, and that is what contributes. Competition contributes to the advancement of humans because it breeds the best in us. Competition contributes to the advancement of humans because it breeds the best in us. Two, it's fair. And I don't mean fair as in, oh, everyone gets the same amount of playing time. I mean, if you're the best, you're the best, plain and simple. And it's not fair for someone that works their butt off, is not someone who put their neck on the line. It's not fair for someone who put their money on the line. It's not fair for someone who had to sit in debt and work 14-hour days for 3 years to get paid the same as the person who assembles the parts on the equipment that man bought. Well, we're all human. It's got to be fair. That's not fair. And you can't tell me that that's fair because that's bullcrap. Capitalism is the natural selection for our species. And frankly, plain and simple, it is logical. It is the logical answer. It is the method of you get to keep what you earn, do what you would like with it. And it is fundamentally correct. So this is not a basis of opinion. If we were communist, we would not be technologically where we are now. Not unless aliens gave us this technology. I think that was a pretty good amount of time. Pretty good talking about justifications for capitalism. There's voluntary ways to help people that need it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people that need it, but there are voluntary ways. And the main principle behind it is that people earn what they earn, and letting them keep what they earn is fair, and letting them voluntarily give to other people is what's more fair. That's why I'm not a fan of taxing churches, particularly in Utah with LDS Church. They do a lot for you know, people who are struggling in a lot of ways. And if you tax the churches, you're just taking away money from people that was donated, that was already taxed. You'd say tax the churches, you suck, because you're taking away money that was already taxed. And even though you already taxed these workers, these people that donate to these churches, you already taxed that money, they're still deciding to give, you're going to tax it again. And in a lot of scenarios, these organizations are using this money for good things in more efficient ways than the government can. All right, that's going to be all for today, folks. Go ahead and check out the Patreon, whatever. New Political Dysfunction episode should be coming out tomorrow. This is getting published today. I'm going to go ahead and check in on the UEFA Euro and see how Italy's doing against England. It's supposed to be a good game, but my grandma came from Italy, so, you know, I got to stick with my roots. Thanks for listening so much, y'all. Y'all take care. Have a good one. Don't forget to give me feedback. You can get a hold of me at TR for Freedom on Twitter or Utah Liberty Talk on Twitter, and then the website as well, utahlibertytalk.com. You can also reach out to me through there. Love to hear the feedback. All that sort of stuff. If you have any questions, I'd love to talk to you about anything, tell you about myself, whatever you want to know. Thanks, y'all, for listening so much. Y'all take care. Have a good one.